realize that we must always be focused on. I hope somebody's hearing me this morning.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message we will hear this evening is the first of a new series of messages by Pastor Brian Grant, centered on lessons from the life of the great prophet Elisha, the successor to his mentor Elijah. In this evening's message, Pastor Grant will be our guide as we join Elijah and Elisha on a tour of the Holy Land, visiting several places that have great significance in the life of the nation and whose inheritance would impact young Elisha in very personal ways that would fit him to reach the prize God had set out for him to achieve. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 2 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message entitled, Eyes on the Prize. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A large lion decided to make sure that all the animals in the jungle knew who was the king of the jungle. So he went to a zebra and he saw the surprises of the zebra and he said, who is the king of the jungle? Of course, the zebra said, oh, you, of course, oh, almighty lion, of course you're the king of the jungle. Then the lion, he went to a monkey and he surprised the monkey and he roared at him, who is the king of the jungle? The monkey said, almighty king, of course, you are the king of the jungle. And then the lion, he went to an elephant and he said to the elephant as he roared, he said, who is the king of the jungle? The elephant stretched out his trunk and he grabbed the lion and he spun him around and he threw him in the air. And when he came down, he threw him against a boulder. And the poor little lion, as he picked himself off of the ground, he looked at the elephant and he said, just because you don't know the right answer, you don't have to take it so personally. You know, the poor lion, he thought his purpose was to let everybody know that he was king. You know, God has made us for something great. I don't want you to miss that. No, I'm not necessarily saying it is great in the eyes of men, but God has made all of us for something great, but we will only discover God's purpose for our lives when we learn to delight in Him. So this morning, I want to bring with you, as I share, talk a little bit about discovering God's purpose, I want to share with you a message which I've entitled, Eyes on the Prize. Elijah had pursued God's purpose, and it was now time for his departure to heaven. But this would not be any ordinary departure, because God was actually sending a chariot of fire to take Elijah up to heaven. Elijah became one of only two individuals who so far have gone to heaven without dying. But my friend, I just want you to know that one of these days there are going to be millions of Christians who are going to enter heaven without dying, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I say amen. Hallelujah. Folks, we'll soon be going home. But we need to stop making heaven a distant place that only impacts our lives when we die. Too often we look at heaven as some distant place, a place we're hoping to get to when we die. But my friend, what God wants us to realize this morning is that heaven ought to impact our lives right now. Heaven is the prize that we must always be focused on. I hope somebody's hearing me this morning. Heaven is the prize that we must always be focused on. Listen to me now. For it's impossible to fulfill our purpose on earth without a heavenly perspective. Oh, when I was a boy, I used to hear people say, you would listen, if you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You ever heard anyone say that? You're so heavenly minded that you're so no earthly good. Listen, well, if we're not heavenly minded, we won't be any earthly good. It's the exact converse. If we're not heavenly minded, if we're not focused on the things that please the Lord, if we're not delighting in the Lord, we won't be any earthly good because we will not fulfill God's purpose for us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, he said, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's eyes were on the prize. Once he got saved, he had a heavenly perspective. He knew that delighting in the Lord would not only bring him tremendous satisfaction on earth. Young people, listen to me good. Paul knew that when he delighted in the Lord, when he followed God, when he lived with passion for God, it would not only bring him tremendous satisfaction on earth, but it would bring great rewards in heaven. Paul knew that an incorruptible crown was waiting for him in heaven. And there's not, listen, and this incorruptible crown, Paul is not the only one who is getting one. Amen? Because my Bible tells me that there is an incorruptible crown waiting for every person else who also is longing for the Lord's appearing. Those who have their eyes on the prize, those who are living with an heavenly perspective. And because of their heavenly perspective, they're serving God with their whole hearts. You know, sometimes we get the impression that you have to be special to be a winning Christian. But I want you to know that every believer can be a winning Christian. Amen? Every believer can be a winning Christian. But sometimes we get so caught up with worldly things that the spiritual things are not even on our radar. But God today, he's calling us to make some changes. He's asking us today to change our focus. He's asking us to make sure we have our eyes on the prize. He's asking us to make sure we are living with a heavenly focus. And I pray that as we listen to God's word this morning, we will. Before Elijah left for heaven, he took Elisha on a tour. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah took Elisha on a tour, and there were some cities visited. And I don't believe the cities that were visited were selected at random, for as we'll see in a moment, each city was designed to teach Elisha, and I believe designed to teach us as well. It was designed to teach Elisha the essential progression that was required if we're going to accomplish God's purpose for us. And so I hope you'll pay attention as we take a look at the meaning of what these cities mean, because these cities actually have a lesson for us. The first city, the tour started in Gilgal. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, Gilgal, the place of new beginnings. Gilgal, the place of new beginnings. This is very important, and I hope you'll make some notes of this. Gilgal, the place of new beginnings. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible tells us, came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elisha said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. Gilgal, had an important role in Israel's history because it was the first place Israel camped after crossing the Jordan River and entering the Promised Land. Gilgal was the place of Israel's new beginnings. All of us need a Gilgal experience, amen? All of us need a new beginning. For we were all born on the wrong side of the tracks. It doesn't matter which neighborhood you're from. Sometimes we would use that term in a negative way. But I want you to know we were all born on the wrong sides of the track. No matter how much money you have in your bank account or how broke you are, we were all born on the same side of the track. It was the wrong side. The Bible says we were all born sinners, we were all born in sin, we were all shaped in iniquity, we were all born aliens of God, but thank God for the cross, amen? Thank God for the blood of Jesus, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. Thank God that some of us this morning, as we watch and as we listen, we can praise God that we have had a brand new beginning. Because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. We have had a brand new beginning. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this morning that as you listen, you realize you have not had this new beginning. You cannot recall a time in your life when you invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you and change you. You've never had that new beginning. Listen. Everything must, you must have that Gilgal experience. You must have this new beginning. Listen, you cannot experience God's purpose for your life. You will never experience it until first you have come to Gilgal.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
And over the years, I've had the chance to speak to a number of people who wanted to become members here at our church. They're interested in joining the church. One of the things that amazed me, as I've spoken to so many, some who have been members of churches for years, some who have been leaders in churches, they have been deacons and have other offices, they've been choir members, very active. But one of the things that surprised me is that so many of them have no assurance that they're saved. They've been members of churches, they've been active in church, but they cannot point to a point in their life when they repented of their sin, turned around, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart and their life. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning. You're a church member, you're active in church, but if you're honest, you're not sure you have had this new beginning. Oh, I tell you, this morning could be your morning. This morning, God wants to save you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to come into your heart, and he wants to change you, and he wants to give you a brand new start. And I trust that this morning, as we continue in this service, at the end, you will say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and change me. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? We are praying that this morning there's going to be somebody that will have this Gilgal experience, this new beginning. But Gilgal is important, but we shouldn't get stuck at Gilgal. But too often Christians get stuck in Gilgal. They're saved, but they have no desire to grow. They're still messing around with all sorts of sin. Perhaps that's where you are this morning. You're still in the lottery line. You're still doing all the stuff. You're still having the problem with drink and drugs and all sorts of stuff. You haven't changed much. You're still stuck.
A deacon and his son were driving on a country road, and they were passing a wonderful melon patch, just incredible looking melons. And the deacon, he couldn't resist the temptation. So he pulled over And his son was still in the car, and he climbed through the fence, and he got himself some good melons, and it was time to come back to the car. But he couldn't see up and down the road to make sure nobody was watching. So he shouted out to his son. He said, "Son, look right and left and make sure nobody's coming. Just tell me if it's clear. Look right and left." The son shouted back to him, "Dad, but shouldn't I also look up?" You know, sometimes the problem is that we forget that God sees what we're doing. In Sunday school, we used to sing a little song. He sees what we do. He hears what we say. My God's a watching all the time. And my friend, God is watching. God is seeing us. And my Christian friend, if you're stuck in Gilgal, don't believe that God is not seeing what you are doing. But here's the problem. You are missing out on God's best. Because God has made you for something great, and here you are stuck in Gilgal. Well, to God that this morning you would move on from Gilgal. Listen, Elisha was given the opportunity to stay in Gilgal. Because nobody is going to, Elijah didn't try to force him. Elijah said, "Elisha, why don't you just stay right here?" My friend, I would just want you to know that God is not going to force you to leave Gilgal. You have got to make your decision. You have got to come to a point in your life where you said, "God, I'm tired of this same old. God, I'm tired of just maintaining. And God, I want to experience your purpose. God, if you have made me for something great, I want to experience what you have made me for." And my friend, I hope that this morning you're determined, "I'm going to leave Gilgal and I'm going to move on to Bethel." Because Bethel was the second stop. Gilgal, the place of new beginnings. But secondly, Bethel, the place of dedication and commitment. And so here we have in verse number 2, they moved on. The Bible tells us, Elijah said, I'm going to Bethel. And so Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. It's the place where Jacob had an amazing vision of God in Genesis 28. You remember the story? While Jacob was sleeping, he had this incredible vision, and he saw a ladder that stretched from earth to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending this ladder, and the Lord was standing above the ladder. And when Jacob awoke, he said, "This is astonishing." He said, "How awesome is this place? This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And he changed the name of the place from Luz to Bethel, which means the house of God. Jacob had a vision of God, and he was never the same again. You know, up until this time, Jacob was a schemer. He was all about himself. He was a con man. He had shown almost no sign of spiritual life. But after he saw God at Bethel, he set up a memorial at Bethel. And the Bible makes us to realize that he made a commitment to live for God. Bethel was a turning point in Jacob's life. It was the place of dedication and the place of commitment. I wonder if somebody here this morning is willing to make that sort of dedication and commitment that Jacob made. You're a Christian, but hardly anyone knows it. Just like Jacob, there was hardly any sign of spiritual life. Perhaps hardly anyone knows you're a Christian because you're running with the other folks. You're running with the world as if nothing has changed. Today, God is calling you to make a full commitment of your life to him. Bethel was a turning point. And God would eventually use this former con man to become the father of the Hebrew nation. Can you imagine that? This con man, this schemer, because of what happened at Bethel, because of the commitment that was made here, everything changed and everything started to change in his life. And oh, I pray that this morning as you listen to God's word, that you would become dissatisfied with the status quo. You'd become dissatisfied by just continuing to claim you're a Christian without any fire. And that this morning you would say, God, I want you to make me into something worthwhile. I want to experience your person and your power. I want to experience your purpose. But it won't happen until you make a full commitment. Will you make yourself a living sacrifice to God? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and he encourages us to make our bodies. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable to him. And he says, this is just your reasonable service. Sometimes we act as if God is asking for something much, but in light of what Jesus did for us at Calvary, it's nothing hard. He's asking us to give ourselves to him. And my friend, I wonder this morning, even right now as we're speaking, would you be whispering a prayer to God and say, oh God, you can take my life. God, I want to serve you. I want to be your man, your woman, your boy, your girl. God, I want you to live your life in me and through me. Yes, it's important in this progression. If we're going to discover God's purpose, we must have a Gilgal experience. There must be a new beginning. But secondly, there must be a Bethel experience. There must be a point of dedication and commitment. But third, we have to move on to Jericho, the place of victory and power. Jericho, the place of victory and power. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. Oh, I tell you, Elijah keeps making sure that Elisha is really in this. He's not just tagging along. His heart is in it. He's passionate about it. And so each time he tries to discourage Elisha from coming. But Elisha was passionate. Elisha was committed. Elisha was keeping his eye on the prize. Elisha was committed. Listen, he knew and recognized his purpose was to be Elijah's successor. And he was not going to let anything cause him to miss the opportunity to be all that God wanted him to be. And he was not going to lose sight of Elijah. Listen, Jericho was the place of Israel's first major victory in the Promised Land. It's the place of victory and power. The walls of Jericho, some of you remember the story. The walls of Jericho were regarded as impregnable. No military force could break through these walls. And by the way, in case you think this is a made-up story, they tell us, the historians tell us, that the walls of Jericho are the oldest wall that the archaeologists have ever discovered. It's the oldest city wall that has been ever discovered. It's a real story, and it was a really impregnable wall. No military had ever broken through. But I hope you remember from your Sunday school days, we used to sing a little song. Who knows the song? And it used to go like this. Round the walls of Jericho, round the walls of Jericho, round the walls of Jericho, the army went. Seven times without a stop, seven times without a stop, seven times without a stop, the army went. And when the people gave a, you can shout at home, when the people gave a shout, the walls came down. Can you imagine that? Here were impregnable walls that no other military was able to break through, and all that God made them do was march around the wall and shout, and the wall crumbled.
My friend,
Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.